such quietness, Lord, in the peace of your house, Father. We may turn our attention to you, God, and raise up these things that are of most importance in our lives, God. I thank you so much that you give us so many freedoms, Lord, and you give us so much direction on what pleases you, Lord, and what is holy and acceptable in your sight. And I pray, Father, that that's our heart's attitude today. And if there's something here, God, that's preventing that heart from getting close to you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be willing and able, Lord, and boldly to address these things, Lord, within our relationships, within our relationships with our children, anything, God, that's just preventing us, that's just slowing us down from going where you want us to go, from saying what you want us to say, from serving the way you want us to serve and loving the way you want us to love, Lord. I pray, God, that the message that Brother Thomas is bringing, Father, will remind us of these powerful things we need in our life. That's so necessary, God. I pray you use him in a mighty way in all of our hearts, Father, so that it wouldn't be just a tradition to come here, but it would be a renewing, God, that we would need it, that we would find it necessary in this life, Lord, and not just a habit, Father, but a lifestyle. I pray, God, as we end this time of worship, Lord, we beg for your voice in our hearts. We beg for your spirit among us and your hand of protection on us, Father. We thank you for loving us so much, yeah, God. Yeah. We thank you for your unlimited amount of mercy, your unlimited amount of grace that we have access to, Father. We thank you that we are washed by your blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. So as a Brother Preacher Man comes, Father, I pray that you would bless the words that he brings and that you have given him, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Brother, I didn't mean to call you Brother Preacher Man. I don't know where I heard that in my life, but you know, that's just the first thing that came to me. I was like, Brother Thomas, I've already called him Brother Thomas. Say something different. But anyway, Lord, Brother, I am so excited to hear what you have and what God has given you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Just don't call me late for dinner. We're okay. All right. So, thank you so much also. Thank you. And somebody else gave me one too. Thank you also. And we would love it. And thank you. We're going to be in Isaiah. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter number 55, verse number 8 through 11. And just to give a little introduction so you kind of know where I'm coming from here. It's just like that, because I love it when you hear a preacher, you get to see a guest preacher. And I've been in a time period where I didn't have a pastor for a time. And we had that time where so ours happened during COVID, though. So we didn't have a pastor for like 2 years. It was crazy. We lost our pastor. He had literally announced that we were going to be he was going to be retiring in December of 2020. And then we're like, okay, so how long do we have? But that was before we knew what was about to happen. And he's like, well, I'll be leaving probably about June. We'll give you about enough time to figure stuff out. And then we're trying to put things in order, get stuff ready. And then March, February is when we kind of got that, things are changing. No more flights, all this stuff. We're like, oh, okay. That's cool. Oh, we'll figure it out. And we're like, no, we already got a guy set up. Everything's going to be fine. He's going to come. And flights got canceled. So we couldn't get the guy to come out. And then after that point, it continued on that for the next 6 months, we didn't have flights. And then when he tried to come out again, he's like, oh, just some things happened in the family. I can't make it out now. So things just kept happening. We finally got him out. And then he's like, I'm sorry. I just don't feel called to come to this place now. And it's just like that. We're like, what is going on? So then for another about year and 3 months, me and another gentleman held the pulpit and just made sure that it was going well for the time period. And I was always the assistant, never the main guy, and you never know what they go through until you step in their shoes for about a time. I thought I understood. Because I was like, oh, I'm always there. I know what's happening. I got the idea. All that. Just make sure things are organized. Talk with the people. It's fine. Everything's good. And then you get into the position and find out that there's a lot more to it. And people think a little bit differently about a pastor or somebody who's behind the pulpit on a regular basis than somebody who's just kind of sitting in the background. They love the guy who's in the background. He's great. Like, we love him. He's great. And then when you get up there and you say something, you become under critique. You become a new, it's a whole new ballgame. I never knew. But would never change it for the world. It grew me so much. And then got the same refreshing feeling you did. About, I'd say about a year and 9 months in, another pastor in the area, because we had some guys come in a little bit, but they had their own churches at the time period. They're like, hey, we're going to do the best we can to help, but we understand your circumstances. And it's COVID, so we're trying the best we can. And out of nowhere, another pastor came up and said, hey, our ministry is to help people. So we're just going to send guys. We'll have guys just come to your church. We'll have a family come to your church. It's going to be there on a regular basis, and we're going to just keep sending guys. And like you guys have it right now, it was great. Like, I stopped preaching for a while. We had a new guy every day. It was so much fun. I was like, yes, and it was always a new message, always so refreshing. I got revitalized. It was so much fun. And then we finally called a pastor, and it was a great time. It's a good time. Enjoy these moments. And I'm not joking. Enjoy these moments, because there's going to be a time period where you're going to forget about this, and then you're going to be sitting in service again. You're going to be like, it's the same rigmarole again, and da-da-da-da-da-da. Do not forget these times, and also be blessed because of these times. And don't get hurt from it. Don't get discouraged from it. Don't go. It is a good time in the house of the Lord. Next after that is I got saved when I was 18. I am 37 now, so it's been about almost 20 years since that point in time. Literally, the only reason I am saved is because of God's good grace upon my life. I was not my family. I'm not like the picture Christian you'd say. My family was not in God, not at all. They were raised in religion and was forced to do it by their parents. So by the time they decided to have kids, they're like, we are not going to put our kids through any of it. They went the opposite direction. They said, we're not even going to introduce them to the idea of God. We're going to let God, just hopefully they just find out what's going to happen. After hindsight, I don't know if that's probably the best course of action. I think you should introduce the Lord into the family. But they didn't even introduce it into our lives. So I just lived as a unsaved young man growing up in America. I grew up in Tacoma, Washington, just an hour or so away from here. Just kind of did what I wanted to. And then at 14 years old, I was in high school. I was walking through my story. If you ask her, she'll say this isn't the story, but this is my story. So I was walking through the cafeteria, and I heard someone singing. And I was like, someone sings like an angel. And I was like, where is that coming from? And my wife was singing there with her crowd of friends, and they were singing music of some sort in high school. And I was like, she's pretty. I want her. Like, we're going to get, that's the one I want now. And I did everything I could to try to win her hand. And actually, we ended up started dating at that point in time. Again, I was lost. I didn't know. It was just my life. She was raised in church when she was very young, but then ended up getting pulled out of church because circumstances and situations. So when she knew the basis of the Bible and the truths of Jesus Christ, but did not walk the walk, nor talk the talk, nor do the do that you would consider to be, what we would consider to be the walk of God. So she was living very carnally, I would say, is the best way to put it. We met, and I was like, cool, we could do this. This is going to be awesome. I like you, you like me. And then the first question she asked me when we were a kid was, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I was like, what? I'm 14. Who cares about that? Like, we're dating. This is what does that have to do with anything? And she's like, no, this is really important. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? Do you know Jesus Christ? I was like, no. And she's like, okay. I'm like, let's move on. So we lived our lives for the next 3 years, even though we weren't completely dating the entire time period. Every time I had a conversation with her, every single phone call, every single moment in time, she would always, at some point in time in the conversation, ask the same question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I was like, look, no, like, I don't care. What does that have to do? And every time she would slip in a little bit more, like a little bit something else that I didn't know about the Christian walk, what it went to be. I mean, I knew Christians, but most of them, nobody talked about it. Nobody knew, you know, some people just said I went to church, and you knew, I had friends who kind of did, but nobody talked about God except for her. Because at some point in time, during her little walk in time with God, she was taught to you that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that you have to express this. You got to tell people about this. And so, around 18 years old, I graduate, she graduates, we end up meeting up again. And do you know what her first conversation with me was? It wasn't, let's go have lunch and eat pizza. It was not, let's go hang out, let's go do something. It was, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And I'm like, I am so tired of this. I was like, fine, we're done. I don't, sit, like, talk to me. Tell me about this. You have all the time you need now. I'm going to sit and listen. It's 3 years. After four, 3 to 4 years. So I sat, and we sat in our living room at the time period because, again, we were still not living the right way. I ended up moving in with her at that point in time. Not a good way to go about it, guys. The reason why the Bible says man should not touch a woman. It's just like that. But now, that said, she sat down and we talked about it. And I was like, she gave me a very rough version of the gospel. Very rough version of it. But the truth. It was good. And I remember sitting there going, time for bed. And I laid down. She went to bed. I remember laying there, and I could not sleep. We ended the conversation around 11:25 or something like that. I laid there until 2 to 3 o'clock in the morning. And there's something about the conversation I just couldn't shake, which was the fact that somebody loved me so much that he gave his life for me. And I was like, what is that? Like, why? Why would anybody do that? Like, there's nothing in this world. I haven't met, my dad probably wouldn't even do that for me. I mean, he would say it, but I don't think he would. Like, I mean, we had to really talk about that. I don't know if he'd do it. Like, and I'm like, my friends, I have really close friends at that time period, I would think is probably closer than my family because we had a very broken family. And I'm like, I have friends that I know for sure. They know a lot about me. Nowhere near as much as she does, but they know a lot about me. And I don't think any of them would, like, take a bullet for me, give themselves for me. I've never heard of this before. Like, where does this, what kind of love is this? Like, I don't understand it. And I literally fell out of my bed. And I was like, I need to know more about this. I don't get it. I don't fully understand it, but I know it's good and I know it's right. So I fell on my knees on the side of the bed and I said, Lord, I've never talked to you before. And this person that I care about keeps talking about you and how good you are and how you gave your only begotten son, this Jesus Christ. And she said that he is God. And I don't get how that works out. I don't know how this thing works. And there's something about the Holy Spirit or Spirit or something. I don't know what it is. But there's something about this that you did. And that you love me so much that you gave your son for me. I'm like, God, if that's true, I want this. I can't see a reason why I wouldn't take this. There's nothing in this I don't see. I'm like, I know I deserve hell. I deserve punishment. I don't deserve a good life. I don't deserve the best of this world. But I want to understand this love so much. So if you will have me, I will accept Jesus Christ. I will accept all the things in which you state. I will accept that you are God. Lead me, guide me, and tell me exactly what you want for my life. Please, God, please, I accept it all. In Jesus' name I pray, because that's what she told me to say. Amen. And then I went to bed. And then I woke up the next day. And she woke up, and obviously the conversation didn't end well beforehand, so then when she woke up in the morning, it was, and I went, okay. I was like, something happened last night. And she's like, what happened last night? And I was like, well, remember that God thing that you've been talking about and all this stuff and everything, and like this old Jesus and stuff like that? Well, I think I trust him now. And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, like whatever it is, like I kind of need to know a little bit more about this. The same week that we had this conversation, this whole thing happened. She met a friend that used to go to her church, which was our church back in Tacoma, Liberty Baptist Church. And they were still going to church. And even though she had dyed black hair and wasn't dressed in the best form and all that stuff, like it was a crazy, dyed green, it was like green underneath or blue underneath, I don't remember what it was. We were, again, kids of the world, different hair colors, stuff like spiked neck collar I was wearing and a pacifier and baggy pants and all this stuff. Like I was a much different. You know, this face is not the face you would have seen back then. That said, I remember she met her friend. They saw her at Target while she was working. And she goes, Angela? And she's like, Anna? And she's like, oh, hey, how's it going? They were friends back when church was going on. They hung out in church. And she's like, you should go to church. And she's like, okay, no. That same week that the conversation happened. And then that same week, in the same week that I got saved, and she meets her, we get a knock at our apartment door. And we're like, who is this? What in the world? And we open the door, blah, blah, blah. And then the person at the door goes, Angela? And she goes, Brother John? It was the teen pastor from the church. They didn't know where we lived. We didn't pass along information. We didn't do any of the things to make it like fit this together. This is all God. So the teen pastor's like, hey, Angela, you should come to church. And she's like, okay, yeah, I guess we should go to church. And then he's like, and she's like, well, this is my other half. And I'm like, hi. And he's like, hey, how's it going? Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I'm like, What do you say about that? Let's sit down and talk. So then we sat down on the couch, and he opened up the Bible, and he showed me the verses and everything that followed with it. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I believe. So now what do? And he's like, you got to go to church. I was like, okay, let's go to church then. Now, that all said, that is the beginning of a walk that has been long and fun and amazing. And I won't say that I was perfect the entire way through. Not at all. It was a long trade and a long thing. And as I said, I wish I could show you pictures. If you ask some other time, I'll bring some. It's a much different life. But God has done such an amazing work in my life. And I just pray that he does the same today for you. If you're not saved and you don't know for sure if you're going to heaven, my whole point of this sermon is not just to say that we can get together and enjoy and go kumbaya and enjoy ourselves. My whole drive here is to actually get you to follow God in any way, shape, or form. Maybe if you're already saved, I want you to follow God closer. Maybe if you're not saved, then I want you to get saved. That's the whole point of this conversation. I can say all the fun things in the world. We could talk about how to have a good day and but all that stuff. But that's not my point. My whole drive, my whole mission in life is to lead people to how to know for sure they're going to heaven, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the whole point of this. Now, all that for introduction to say this, it helps for people to know who you are before you start speaking. So I give you a little bit of history so I can get into this message and hopefully we can understand. Isaiah chapter number 55, if you can stand for the reading of God's word, that'd be great. Isaiah chapter number 55, verse 8 through 11, we're going to talk about this God that I believe in, this wonderful and merciful Savior, and just wonderful God. Isaiah is speaking about what God says here, and he says, verse number 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in things whereto I sent it. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this truth, God, that's about to, I'm hopefully going to express that you would have your way, Lord, not according to my will be done, but thine will be done. But Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit work on the hearts of people. God, I don't know who's listening to this conversation, Lord. I don't know the people who are even sitting in this room very well at all, Lord. But I trust, Lord, that your will is being done. I trust that the Holy Spirit is working in them. I hope that they would get saved if they're not saved. And if they are saved, that we would meet one with another right now and encourage each other in the Lord today. Please, God, work in us, guide us and lead us, and strengthen us, Lord, to see what you have in store for us. Thank you for this blessed snow day, and also thank you so much for everything else that's been going on, and this just the beauty of this church, God, the people, Lord, they've got such a heart for you, God, and I thank you so much that you've done such a great work here. Continue to do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, Isaiah chapter 55 is just kind of bringing this an idea that God does not think the way that we think. I mean, he does, because obviously we're made in his image, and obviously we have his mind and such like that, but we are not infinite. We do not understand the wisdom of God to the fullity of what he is. He gives us his wisdom through his word, as much as we can understand. And if anybody here, it looks like we have a pretty experienced crowd, let's put it that way, experienced crowd, I would say then that most of you have probably written through your word a few times. And you've realized that through reading his word, it's a growing thing. It's a living word. It continues to change. Like, I can read the same thing 15 times and get 20 to 30 different things out of it that I never saw the first time I read it. It's an amazing truth. Now, I want to kind of give you something here. Sometimes we recognize when God is doing a work around us. Those are amazing and great times. And I think just walking into this room, I think God's doing an amazing, great thing here. I am not no prophet coming up and saying, oh, I can tell you that this thing's going to happen in the future. Not at all. But I just see the spirit of this church, and I saw the spirit of the people. I shook hands with some of you, and I got to talk to some of you and hear some of your guys' just your testimonies a little bit. And I think God is doing an amazing work here. And I can see, I'm inspired to see what's going to happen. I'm like, yeah, God, you're going to do something cool. That said, it's wonderful times. But sometimes we don't always recognize that moment, though. Sometimes when people say what I just said, you go, what? What's going on? I mean, things are kind of happening, but not what you think. No, it can't be. That's not what you think. You don't know what's going on underneath. You have no clue what's going on behind closed doors. And I'm not saying that's what people are saying here. I just know being on your side of the pulpit, and I've been there, I'm still there today, that I've thought that. I've heard somebody come up and say, great things are happening, God is doing wonderful things. And I sat back and go, uh-huh, yeah, that's what you say. But we don't always recognize it. I believe sometimes when that happens, that it's because there's a part of God that we can't understand. There's actually a place where God does things, and you won't even know until it's already happened. Like, God does this amazing work, and he's doing it in such a way that you will never see it until it's already, poof, it's there, it's done. And you're like, where was I when this happened? He's like, I was working. I think sometimes that goes into the mystery of God. Now, blessings, like I said, sometimes he does show us. He gives you pieces, and you can, it's almost like following breadcrumbs. And you're like, well, this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, which really didn't make sense. But then after this happened, we totally understood why this happened, and this is great. I understand now. That's great. But sometimes God places the right thing right in front of us, and we still miss it. There is a saying, the good Lord works in mysterious ways. There's a song that says, the good Lord works in mysterious ways. It's an amazing truth. And something that I've learned in my Christian work life is don't predetermine the spiritual works of God. Don't predetermine the spiritual works of God. I tell myself to stop thinking I know exactly how things are supposed to go. I tell myself to stop thinking I know exactly how this is supposed to be. I can tell you how you're supposed to walk so that God can do the blessing here. You got to be careful sometimes when doing that. I don't know about you, but God has proven to me multiple times over in my short time here that I am not always right. Actually, probably most of the time when I have an idea, I'm like, God, it should go just like this. This guy gets saved, he gets baptized, he joins the church, and then he continues to walk, and everything works out. That's exactly how it's going to go, right, God? And God goes, that guy's got another plan. We're working on him. You're good. You just enjoy. We'll see what's going to happen. You'll see what I'll do. Just wait. I want to show you a pattern in the Bible that kind of goes after this thought here that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. This pattern is called this, and this is the title. Sometimes God blesses the second more than the first. Sometimes God blesses the second more than the first. In the Bible, sometimes you see this thought that God sometimes blesses the second season more than he blesses the first season. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't bless the first season. There's actually a lot of firsts in the Bible that are really true, and God totally gets his hand on it. He's like, this is something that I had ordained to be a blessing and an amazing thing. For instance, the Hebrews. Anybody in the Hebrew culture back in the day said that the firstborn would receive the greater blessing right off the bat. That's the rule. It was a rule of thumb that God had placed. And he said, this is the way it's going to be throughout all generations. That said, though, I've also noticed throughout the Bible a pattern that sometimes it doesn't always happen to the first. Before we move into this, I want to emphasize an idea here of waiting on God's wisdom, waiting on God's will, waiting to see the blessings of God's life. There's something that you need to understand is that sometimes this requires a lot of patience, a lot of patience, and a lot of trust, especially in things that you cannot see or things that you cannot understand. Also, it'll come when God wants it to and not when I want it to. It is, man, there are so many times I've gotten on my knees and said, God, we kind of need this check today. It'd be really nice if this car thing would, like my house and this thing, and I'd really like it today. And says God says, I'm doing my work. Don't push me. Psalm chapter 145, verse 15 says, the eyes of all that wait upon thee, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, going back here, says this, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. From what I've heard, this church has seen a couple interesting things within the last little while. And something amazing is actually really about to happen too, from what I heard, which is super impressive. A pastor is coming on. And I'm super excited to hear that. I remember the feeling, too, when a pastor was coming on. It was like, yes, God, oh God, yes. It's so amazing. It's so cool. Because then you get to see the work of God work. That said, I can tell you, being on the other side too, that waiting in patience is difficult and hard. Trust is hard. It can get very challenging to sit there and try to see what God is doing when you see what you would believe to be the opposite of that. You've probably seen numbers rise and fall in the church, right? You've probably seen people's hearts go from, we're totally into this, to, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, I'm not even sure how this is going to work. Again, it takes some trust and patience. And I want to kind of emphasize something else on this. We need to be careful while in these points. Because sometimes what we do is we put all our effort and all our hope and all our work into the first blessing that we think of. We say, this is the work we're going to do. This is the thing that God's got to do. We're going to put everything that we have in there. And actually, we're supposed to do so. Biblically, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. It says you're supposed to actually put your effort in there. Now, the drawback is, though, sometimes we put the effort and the hope in, but when that thing that you put so much effort and hope in fails, you lose hope. You begin to distrust. You begin to say, I can't see how this is going to work out. I don't know how we're going to move forward with this. And that's the place you got to be careful at. We need to work, and we need to have our hope. We need to place all of our hope that the Lord is going to do a great thing coming up next. But that said, if it does not work out, and I'm not saying the future thing that's about to happen for your church is not going to work out, mind you. I'm not at all. But I can say from experience in my life, I put my effort into a lot of things in the ministry. I have done so much trying to just follow the will of God and be like, God, I know this is how it's going to go. It's going to be amazing, and we're going to do it. It's going to be awesome, and people are going to get saved and baptized, and the church is just going to explode just to watch. God, what happened? I thought, we all invested money into this, and time, and special music, and food, and we had all the people, and everybody was smiling. Why didn't things change? Because sometimes God wants to bless the second more than the first. Now, I'm going to give you some examples of this. You're like, well, that's a lot of insurance and stuff like that. We'll get into this real quick, and I'll be finished pretty fast here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, if you can get there. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 45. Give you some examples of this. Sometimes God blesses the second more than the first. My first example here is this. You know that the blessing came from the last Adam and not the first? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 45 through 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 57. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly, but the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit the incorruptible. Incorruption, forgive me. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It was not Adam who first gave us or was the blessing for us. Though, mind you, he was the first human, right? He was Adam and Eve, first human on earth, just like that. But it was the last Adam who gave us incorruption. Another place that emphasizes this is Romans chapter 5, verse 11. Romans chapter 5, verse 11, the same thought here. Romans chapter 5, verse 11 says, Romans 5, verse 11 through 19. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have not received the atonement. By whom we have now received the atonement, I'm sorry. Wherefore, as by one man, who are we talking about again? Adam. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. You can continue on if you needed to read that, but for time's sake, I'm going to say all the way to verse 19. Just excellent thought there. Continue on. So one is by the first Adam versus the second Adam as an example. Another example in the Bible. John chapter 3, verse number 6, very, very famous. John chapter 3, verse number 3. The first blessing didn't come from the first birth, but it is a blessing. You got born. Praise the Lord. You have air. You have a life to live. You have food in your tummy now. Praise the Lord. You get that. But I would say this, that the blessing comes from the second birth more than the first birth. John chapter 3, verse number 3 through 6. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen to that. Another example is, real quick, just a spoken example. Esau was the first. But who received the blessing? And if you know your Bible well enough, who's the line of Jesus through? Jacob. It was not the first. It was the second. Last but not least, a final example I'm going to give for today, and there's many other examples just throughout the Bible, is the new covenant is way better than the first covenant. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, real quick. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 7 through 13. For the first covenant had been faultless, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in the covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them as a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that, he saith, a new covenant he hath made, the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Again, all this is to say, sometimes it's not the first. Not to say it's not always the first. I'm not giving you a strong, this is all, if you follow this thing, this is the way it's always going to be. I'm saying that sometimes God's ways are much higher than ours. And we have to trust when he's going and do what he's doing, even if it's not the first. Sometimes it is the first. But I've seen in my life, too, it's sometimes the second. All that to encourage you, again, I don't exactly know where you are here today in your lives. I can't know you. I've just walked in the church, but you guys have really good smiling faces though. And then your guy is just me and him. Me and him meet, we're spiritual buddies. Like as soon as he started going, I'm like, I know that guy because I know me and we're very alike in energy. So I'm excited to kind of get to know him a little bit better. But I just talking to you guys, I see a fervency in the Lord. I see a trust in God. I see things that I go, I am encouraged to see what God is going to do here. That said, I don't know what's in the closed doors of your heart, though. No man can know. Only God knows within your heart. But to those who have been fighting long and hard, and maybe you have thrown in the towel, maybe physically, or maybe just in your heart. Maybe the zeal that was once there is no longer there. Maybe you're burned out from disappointment, shame, guilt, fatigue, or even hopelessness. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're working on a family member, here's another example, that you've been trying to win to Christ forever, and something just snapped. Something didn't work. And you've just kind of, I give up. Maybe you're working on a ministry and pounding the pavement and doing all that you could, but it just didn't take off. It just didn't go like it was supposed to. Or maybe you used to be on fire when you saw the works of God happening in your church. When a little one got on their knees and started praying, you said, that's what we need. But you don't have that anymore. It just becomes another rigmarole of the day. May I suggest to you that maybe it's not the first. Maybe it wasn't the first time that you were supposed to be waiting on. Maybe you were supposed to learn something from the first so that you can go to the second. Maybe you tried this God thing. I'm talking to anybody else. Maybe you don't. This is your first time hearing this. Maybe you're on live stream. I don't know what it is. You tried this God thing back in the past. You tried this, what do you call it, religion of some sort. And you maybe did it because your parents were into it, or maybe because somebody was just your grandma, your dad, or something like that, and it was just religion in itself. And you tried it, and you're like, nah, this is kind of fake. This isn't real. This isn't good. I don't know what this is. And you just kind of gave up on it. May I suggest to you that maybe it didn't work out because it wasn't the second birth. They showed you the work, but they didn't show you the relationship. They didn't show you the truth of it. They didn't show you the depth of it. You got to see the physicality of church or religion. But maybe you didn't get to see it. May I suggest to you then that maybe it wasn't the first. Maybe it's supposed to be the second. Some verses to encourage, and then I'm done. We're good. 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, I don't know where you are in your Christian walk. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I have no clue where you're at. But I can tell you this, that sin can straight up stop you from doing a good work in God. It can slow you down. It can completely halt your hope, your peace, your love, your joy, everything. And if you have that today, and you walked in here into this church, or maybe you're watching online, and you know that there's just something you haven't shared. Like I said, I can't see your heart, but you haven't shared. You're not willing to let go yet. You know that this thing is holding you back. Again, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to give up. And that's where most of us get to. We get to a place where we say, this sin has got such a hold on us that I cannot release it. I might as well give up. Maybe it's not supposed to be that. Maybe it's not the first. Maybe it's the second. You need to go that extra mile, that extra point, and find out what God has in store of you. Maybe he's using this to try to teach you something a little bit more than you would ever know. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, word, not willing that any should perish, but all should come unto repentance. God's not slack. Even when you think he's not working, he's working. Even when it doesn't make sense, it makes sense to him. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So I heard, be done, you're about to get a pastor here who used to be here before. But circumstances changed. And then another guy took over. And then circumstances changed again. And I heard he's coming back. The first guy's coming back. May I give you a suggestion today? A sign of a little bit of encouragement. Maybe it wasn't the first. Maybe it's supposed to be the second. I don't know what the Lord's doing, but I'm excited to see what you guys are getting, what the Lord's going to do here. I am hopeful and I am encouraged, especially just some of the things that you guys do. I'm like, we should do that. Like, that's really good. Like, that was a good idea. I mean, we should learn. We're gleaning from, we're not stealing. We don't steal in church, right? we glean and we borrow from one another. But when I see some of the things that I've seen here, I'm encouraged to see what the Lord's going to do, because I'm saying, I looked and I saw men come up to the front and who were praying on their knees. I'm not trying to lift up the men, but men who are willing to yield themselves unto the Lord is a good sign for a church. If you are not willing to do so right now, I encourage you as a man of God, learn to get on your knees for God. Learn to stand strong, because there's a lot of churches right now that don't do it. May I give a little bit of hint? If you have not had an opportunity, I drove 3 hours yesterday to another place in Yakima and went to a church, and they told me that they only have 12 members there. And they are trying their very best to kind of keep going, to try to be an encouragement. You don't understand the circumstances that are going around outside of this place, because we come here all the time and we see these things. But we get discouraged in the ness of this and forget that God is doing such a mightier work around the globe. That is, the things in which he's doing are grand. And the things that which you do, if you yield unto God, will do amazing things too. But you have to keep hope. You have to endure. And you have to stand strong through it. God is working here. Praise the Lord for it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your grace and your mercy and your will and your way, God. And we're about to do a song of invitation, God. I don't know exactly how this works here. But Lord, I know that there was a time in my life, God, where I sought so much for the first. I gave myself all into everything, only to find out that everything was taken away from me. My hope dwindled away. Lord, and I stood by and I said, God, I can't see how you're working in this. God, I don't see how this life in which that I have, Lord, makes sense anymore. I thought that this is the way it was supposed to be. I thought this was the plan. And you showed me, God, you said, no, sometimes Pierce is not the first. Sometimes I'm doing a greater work that you can't understand. Lord, I pray and ask, Lord, I don't know where people are. There are people who are maybe unsaved. Listen to this. I pray, God, that they come unto the second birth, Lord, that they get that rechanging of their life, that they understand that maybe this first life that they're given, yes, it's fun and it has its times, but truly, God, it doesn't change eternity. It doesn't affect our lives as a second birth. The second birth will give us everything that we need, will change us completely, 100%, and then also our eternity in heaven, God, as long as we go for that. Our relationship with you can be dramatically changed, all because of one thing, the second birth. Or maybe, Lord, we have people in here who are suffering. Lord, they've been saved for a long time. And they've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a mighty work to happen. But they're getting tired, Lord. God, I pray that you'd help to strengthen them. Give them the patience and the drive to continue to wait for that second time. That they would look and seek your will and your way, to see the greater work that's being done, and to work in their hearts that they would stand strong for that day to come, that they may see the second blessing. Lord, as we start this invitation, do your will with these people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you all stand, go ahead and stand, or be seated, however you guys do it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The altar is open, I believe. And then you can come.